Hello, creative people. Welcome to Creative Conversations. My name is Hollis Citron, and we are so happy that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. So I am owner and founder of I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing, and I am on a mission to expand the definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush and empower people, especially adults, to own their voice that come in so many different forms. So this space was created to talk with people with all different jobs, hobbies, and interests, and have conversations about experiences and perspectives, all centered around three questions. One, how do you define creativity? Two, how do you incorporate it into your life? And three, why do you think it's important? Then we have a free-flowing conversation, and we see where it goes. So I have had the opportunity to talk to musicians, Reiki masters, mediums, doctor, lawyer, real estate agents, and so many more. And these conversations explore the reality that creativity is not cute, it is necessary. People have defined creativity as their soul's essence, courage, imagination, basically all that we are and want to be. So sharing these stories expands one's thinking and opens up self-expression to feel more empowered, connected, and dare I say, happy. My inspiring guest for today is Haley Miller. Haley is a licensed professional, clinical counselor, and registered dietitian in Los Angeles. She owns Haley Miller Counseling, which provides nutritional counseling and psychotherapy to people with eating disorders and trauma. She works from a health at every size framework, which means she does not treat people differently based on size and believes that people are healthy at every size. Haley, welcome to the space.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yes, thank you. Let's see. Talk again. I can't hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
You sound really, really low.
Okay.
I don't know if that's because of my headset or...
I'm using my AirPods.
Like it sounds like a whisper.
Okay, maybe I'm speaking too softly, maybe. I don't know.
Okay, hold on 1 minute.
Okay.
Let me see. My headphones are working okay. Do you have headphones in?
Yes, I do.
Something just sounded different.
Okay. Like better.
Do you have headphones in or not?
Yes, I do. I have AirPods in.
Maybe try and take them out and see if that makes a difference.
Okay. How is this?
I don't know why, because I can hear you, but it just sounds like really, really quiet.
Okay. Is this any better?
No. I don't know what's going on. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you perfectly. Let me see if I have other headphones with me.
Maybe try going out and coming in one more time.
Okay. How do I leave?
Let's see.
Okay. Can you hear me better now?
You just sound really, really far away. It sounds like literally a whisper.
Oh, that's so strange. I've been trying to speak louder.
It's like sounds like water. It's kind of like watery and you sound distant.
So I'm in my office and we have AC on. Let me just try to turn it off. One sec.
I can't hear. Okay. Let's see how you can exit the space. When you look on your phone, let's see.
Is this any better? Can you hear me now? I turned off my AC.
It hasn't changed, no.
Oh.
I don't know what's going on. Let me see. I'm going to try and take my headphones out, and I'll see if that makes a difference. And if it doesn't, then we may have to just end this and then start on another one.
Okay.
Okay, so hold on, let me do this. Okay, Haley, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
There we go. Okay. I guess it's something on my end.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, because now I can hear you totally clearly. That's weird. Okay. Anyway, hi.
Hi. I'm glad we figured it out.
I'm glad we did too. Happy Friday.
Yes, of course.
So after reading your bio, please tell us a little bit more about who you are and wherever you want to start with that.
Sure. Yeah. So I, like you said, I'm a psychotherapist and registered dietitian, so I couldn't pick just one career. I wanted to do both things. And I'm definitely somebody that likes to be creative. I will, I've done myself, my own work with an art therapist that's been helpful. And I will kind of process my day by thinking in a creative space or just being around creatives has been really helpful for me. I recently moved to LA from New York City last year during the pandemic, which was crazy. But I also love cats. Let's see what else about me. I just started working at a trauma treatment center as well, so I want to get more training on working with people with trauma, and I find art is really helpful for all the things they can't say.
Mm, love that.
So I love psychology. I love, you know, learning. I love reading. I'm part of a book club. I like to do creative things in my spare time and try to carve out time to do that. I think it helps me to decompress from the week.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we will dive into more detail with all of that, but curious just right now, why the move, what inspired the move from New York to LA?
Yeah. So, I don't know if you've ever had something that you had thought about for a couple of years and then you were like, oh, I'm not going to do that. And then kept coming back to it. Well, that was kind of how I felt about LA. I had been here for the first time in 2013 and I was living in New York. I mean, in actually Philly at the time. And I was figuring out if I want to move to New York or LA. And I chose New York at the time because I wasn't ready for the cross-country move because I'm originally from Paris, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And I just was like, I'm 35. Why don't I move? You know, I'm ready. So I felt called to LA for the weather and the palm trees, and I love beach and the people, and I just kind of needed a change from New York.
Yeah, totally understand it.
And more nature, absolutely. Even though I'm still in a big city.
Yeah, yeah. But LA has, I don't know, there's just more ways to access nature.
Yes.
I mean, New York, you know, you go outside, there's the Central Park, and you go outside and all those, there's a lot of parks. We would always kind of joke about when we lived, because we lived in Manhattan and Queens, and it's like everybody, everybody hung out at the park.
Because
people just didn't, you know, didn't necessarily want to be in their space if they weren't at work or wherever they were. They wanted to be in this outside space. And that's where that's where you go in the city.
Yeah. I actually lived in Queens as well when I was living in New York. So I would sometimes try to go to Central Park, but it wasn't as close. I think it was about 45 minutes on the subway.
Where were you in Queens?
I was in Sunnyside, which is near Astoria.
Yeah, we were in Jackson Heights.
Oh, yeah. We're neighbors.
yeah. We were just right up the 7.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was off the 7 as well.
So cool.
40th Street and Queens Boulevard was like the cross section of where I was at.
Okay. Yeah, we were like 86th and whatever. I can't even think right now because it was so long ago. But yeah, cool. Well, great things in common. So yeah, totally understand that. We lived in LA as well. My husband went to grad school there. And yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he was at CalArts in Santa Clarita.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I live in Chinatown now, kind of pretty close to Elysian Park. So that's where I'll go to connect with nature. It's like a 5-minute drive, which is really nice.
Yeah.
And I like to do that at the end of my work day as much as I can.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah, to definitely decompress, because what you're doing, I can't wait to dive into your perspectives and definitely hear more about what you do, because you're definitely offering so much light into the world. So I just want to start off by saying thank you to that.
Oh, thank you for saying that.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, so here we go. So I'm going to start off with a would you rather question, and mm-hmm. then we'll dive into our other questions. So, Haley. Mm-hmm. Would you rather watch constantly Hallmark movies or horror movies?
Hallmark movies or which one?
Horror movies.
Oh, that's a tough one. I guess I would have to say, just because I'm working more with people with trauma now, that I would pick Hallmark movies, but I could also see a time where it would be horror movies, but it would have to be a certain type of horror movie. Like, I'm not big into the like slasher ones where like everyone just dies in like a gross way, but sometimes I could be.
Is it more kind of like the Alfred Hitchcock kind of stuff that, I don't know if you call that horror, that's more suspense.
I like this. I guess it would be like a cross between like horror and like psychological thriller kind of thing. Like, I loved that Haunting of Hill House show on Netflix that came out a couple years ago now.
Okay.
That it was scary, but there was also a lot about the family and their dynamics together and addiction and mental health and all of that.
So that would be your preference if that was one of the choices over the Hallmark Christmas movies?
At times, I would say right now the Hallmark Christmas movies would be my preference because of kind of being, this week was kind of wall to wall with unexpectedly busy because I'm going on vacation in about 2 weeks. So getting everything done.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I totally get it. I mean, when I was working in the school system, it was, you know, predominantly urban settings, and it was a lot of stuff going on all the time. And my family would kind of make fun of me, but I was like, I just want a romantic comedy. One day when I was having a meltdown, my son even said, I was just crying, and he, just because I was overwhelmed with the day, and he just looked at me because he's not great with emotion. Mm-hmm. He's like, do you want to watch a romantic movie? I'm like, yes. Yeah. He's like, 2 weeks notice. I'm like, that sounds good. He's like, yes. I'll sit and watch it with you. Okay. Just stop crying. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I'll take a Hallmark Christmas movie where even there's like fake computer snow, because we obviously don't get snow in LA and I miss it, but I can go to the mountains for snow a little bit.
It's true. Yes, you can. Okay, great. Well, thank you, Haley. So let's dive into the first question, and I'm going to welcome any listeners live. Thank you for being here. We appreciate you. You can put your questions or comments into the chat where we can see it and we will respond. So, how do you define creativity?
I would say expressing feelings or thoughts or like passion about like causes or anything else that's a strong emotion with color, lines, shapes. You know, that would also could include music, because a lot of times when you're writing music, you're using, like you're writing out the song unless you're just like improvising it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So expressing feelings or thoughts, mm-hmm. passion, strong emotion, color lines. So Yeah. So when you mentioned that you like to kind of do your own work on the side as far as visual arts.
Yes.
With that, I think you said before that you really enjoy landscapes, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So tell us about that. Like, what is that? Do you like to actually be in the space when you're creating, or is it stuff that's more from your imagination?
Yeah, so I would say a lot of the landscapes that I draw are a landscape with a sunset sky. Or a sunrise. So I like a lot of bright, vibrant colors. That's what makes me happy when I connect to art. So what all, my process looks like, I'll take photos in the space that I want to create artistically, and then I'll bring them home and paint them on. I use acrylic paints mostly, but I'll sometimes do watercolors. I'll paint it on either like multimedia paper, or I have some canvases that if I have an idea, I'll use it to create that way. And I like to use a lot of like rainbow colors. I've always been drawn to those colors, so the sunset fits perfectly. I'd also say the sunset is kind of a symbol that's like touched me in my life when I've needed hope. And so I see it as a hopeful symbol.
Love that. I just want to acknowledge, and then I'm going to respond, Haley. Thank you to the people who are here live. I only have the people that I've invited up here onto the stage, but please feel free to put any questions or comments into the space, and we can respond. So, yeah, that's really, I love that. That whole the sunset being a symbol of hope. So that's always something that's kind of been with you.
Yes.
Yeah, I totally get it. It just kind of brought back almost in high school, there was always this kind of scene that I would create, which I haven't really thought about in a while, where it was, of course, the horizon, the ocean, the sun, the colorful sunrise or sunset, and kind of ambiguous with the seagulls being the M flying in the sky. And it just felt so good.
Yeah, I would say at my other office there, I'm picturing as you're speaking there, they have a sunset photo that kind of is like that, especially with the birds looking like they're flying to form a V to fly south for the winter.
Yeah, it's my father was a landscape photographer, predominantly ocean scenes, and they really, I mean, so many times it's amazing. I don't know if this is a side comment, but when you go to these spaces of healing, they have pictures that are not very healing. Like the colors and the lines, like you, how you define creativity, are very harsh and dark, and it's not calming, And his pictures, I don't know, it's just because he was my father, but when you look at them, there was just a sense of calm, with that sunrise, that sunset.
Because each is different, and different areas have different sunsets. Like here in LA, depending on the time of the year, we'll have more pinks. But I don't remember seeing as many wispy pink. Like it's almost like a baby pink in the sunset. I don't remember seeing that in Pennsylvania or New York as much.
Yeah, it's interesting when you go different places how the landscape is just different. Yeah, so let's talk about, I'd love to hear in your work that you do, because your work is strong work. How this word creativity, let's apply it to what you do within that space. I'd love to hear, I know that you do a lot of physical art with them.
Yes.
But is there, I'd like to hear about that, but are there ways that you see that you apply it in different ways with your clients?
Yes. So I find for healing, if we can come up with a metaphor to help the person see something
that they're struggling with more from the outside to be able to find the solution that feels healing for them. So if they have a metaphor or a story that they've been telling themselves, how can we be creative about solutions that maybe rewrite the story or change the metaphor in their minds a little bit? Because we all have these like negative core beliefs that we tell ourselves that are not helpful. And so it feels like the metaphor of like pushing the rock up the hill. So how can it feel less like an uphill battle? And then also, you know, in nutritional counseling, since I work mainly with people with eating disorders, there's a lot of just sayings that we all say, food for thought, why don't you digest this, that are like, when you're thinking about how someone with an eating disorder is struggling with those things, maybe they're not digesting other things in their lives. So they could use that metaphor to kind of be like, why do you always say that, but you don't actually digest things? Because there is a connection between us processing things by thinking about it and the physical process of digestion to keep sustaining our own lives.
Wow. That's a really, really deep concept, because it's so true. It's just words that we say because they've been said. Uh-huh. They just, you know, oh, food for thought, you know, and all of that. Them relating. It's just kind of that acknowledgement of being aware of who you're speaking to.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't know. Is there a way that we can dive deeper into that? I just think it's a very interesting, important topic.
Yeah. Well, I would say in general, being a therapist and a dietitian that provides counseling is everything. You have to be creative in the session. You can take the information you know, but you have to be creative about the way that you speak because to each client, because different things will land for different people and different things will trigger other different people. So you are constantly using a creative process to figure out the best way to present things. And so I see it as constant creativity. And then the physical spaces, like I'm renting office for my private practice from a colleague, but I looked at the office and made sure it was something that I could feel grounded and connected to and calm in before I decided to take on, you know, one day of the office lease. So the since you can't see the office, there is like a seafoam green kind of ombre carpet, and then the colors are like light greens and blues, and then she has like inspirational quotes hanging on the wall, and then some plants and books and a salt lamp, and there's a window looking into a little courtyard. So it's, to me, that's like a calming space. And then she has like soft blankets and soft pillows, which, you know, bring in all the senses. So the space is also helpful for that kind of discussion to take place.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, like, during COVID times when things were worse, I was not in the office and I was doing work in my apartment, and I really needed a lot more creativity and grounding. And I had my little nook that I did therapy in my living room, but it's not the same as leaving your physical living space to go to a place where you provide counseling. And yeah, so I needed more grounding and more art and more connection to vibrant colors, because that's what helps me to process the session I've just had and be able to let it leave and move on to the next person to take care of and support their work.
Yeah. Yeah. So from what I'm hearing, like a word that keeps popping into my head is just problem solving. It's like, mm-hmm. continuously problem solving and listening and being aware of, like you said, you're not sure how things are going to land with a particular person, what kind of triggers could be pushed. So it's really being cognizant of a person, and that's what you have to do. That's mm-hmm. what makes you good at what you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they always said in school, like, yes, we learn psychology and it is a science, but being a therapist is more being an artist than being a scientist.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I can say in the classroom, it's very much about, there is a whole psychology with things, and mm-hmm. it's very much constantly assessing situations and seeing how people are reacting to things and seeing when you need to pivot, and just constantly being on your toes. And when something does kind of blow up and turn into something that's potentially going to mess it up for everybody else as far as behaviors go, mm-hmm. it's learning that balance of, okay, so how are we going to kind of squash that situation without stopping everybody else that's in their groove, mm-hmm. and talking to people in certain ways. It's constantly this navigation. It's things that I find really exciting at times, because it really does. It's not like sitting at a desk all the time. You're not just doing mm-hmm. the same thing over and over again. But sometimes it'd be like, really? mm-hmm. Just got to breathe a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there's also with art making, different people have different frustration tolerances, and they get pretty upset with not understanding the task or not it, the materials not being able to work with them enough.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, definitely. So when you're using these materials with your clients, mm-hmm. You often use, do you often use like oil pastels and things like that? Do you use paint with them?
Yeah, it depends on the person. So in art therapy, you have to be able to kind of do an assessment with the client of what is their history with art and how ready are they to process emotional content. So with oil pastels, it's kind of blendable, but it also will generally, the material will go where you put it, but it's less of a hard material, like if you're using pen or pencil, that people are more used to. So I'm careful when I use paints with clients, because they have to be ready to have a lot of emotion come out, which is how paint, you know, helps them express things, strong feelings and strong emotions in art therapy. Mm-hmm. So the materials themselves elicit certain reactions and emotions from clients, and getting them ready to fully process things in that way is like you go with a progression from like pen, pencil, up to paints, and the highest emotional content is like watercolors, where there's so much water you're adding to the material.
So interesting. Yeah. That whole scaffold and the way that you're describing it. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk, before we move on to the next question, let's talk a little bit about, so I titled this, let's talk about nourishing our body without shame or guilt. So I just kind of want to talk to that a little bit. Like when I say the word shame, mm-hmm. what comes up for you?
So it's this strong emotion. They go together, shame and guilt, to me, but an embarrassment in a stronger way. Like I'm ashamed at what I did, like disappointed in yourself also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's like, so when we say nourishing our body, mm-hmm. so what does that mean? Let's talk about nourishing our body without shame or guilt.
Yeah, so it depends on who I'm working with. So there can be, since I work kind of both with the like emotional nourishment that you can get from psychotherapy and from nutritional counseling. And if I'm doing nutritional counseling with a client, we are talking about what they're eating and how that is going. So it's self-care. It's also, you know, the physical things we need to do to take care of our physical bodies and our souls.
Yeah. I love that. Things that we need to take care of our physical bodies and our souls. I think that gets lost so much in translation. I know that when I left the traditional teaching situation of being in an art room and the last school that I was in for 3 years, and I decided to leave, I felt like for a long time I needed a change of scenery because I wasn't nourishing my soul. I was kind of depleting. And could there have been more that I could have done? Yeah, there probably could have been more that I could have done in order to nourish and still have been in the space. But I just knew, like you said, moving to LA, like there needed to be a change of scenery in order to be able to fully nourish. And there's just that passion and understanding that when you feel fully nourished, be it both with what you put in your body, with what you're eating, and doing what you're craving, doing what lights you up. Oh my gosh, does it feel friggin' good? You know, it's like, it's a life changer.
Yeah.
It's just really kind of when you specifically make that choice and you stick with it, and you don't always know what that's going to look like. But yeah, total life changer.
Yeah.
So, okay, so let's move on to the second question, which is, you spoke about some things, but we can go into more detail about how you incorporate more creativity into your own life.
Yeah. So it's definitely things I have to plan and carve out the time, I would say. So I will try to do something creative a couple times a week after I end my day of work, be it drawing a abstract representation of how I'm feeling. And I like to use oil pastels are my fave for that. Or I love to listen to music on my drive home, and I like that I'm going into the office and have that opportunity to just connect with music and sing along to the song and kind of break up the travel home, because I'm usually sitting in traffic because it's LA. And then I love to read, so I try to read things that are not, because I have to read so much for work, so fun books, things that are not super deep or intense, but are also fun to read about, especially a strong character that I connect to. I like to read about. Let's see what else. And then across my apartment, I have different paintings I've maybe picked up because I love to travel. When we could travel to other countries. Vibrant colors. I tend to wear vibrant colors. Today I'm wearing like a yellow dress. And having, I have like a lot of photos on my wall. There's like not a lot of space that's just white walls because I hate white walls. It's like, does not help me. So looking at creative things, having bright colors, connecting to like visual arts, music. My boyfriend and I, he's a musician, so he has a studio, and I play bass guitar and he plays guitar, and so we'll pick songs that we want to play and then we'll play together. That's we try to do that like a couple times a month. I would love to do it every week, but it doesn't always happen.
I love the things that you're talking about, and I think they're great suggestions just for people to understand and hear that when you have a job, which you really enjoy and it's your thing, but there is stress to it, that these are really nice ways that you mentioned to really incorporate it into your life to nourish your soul and give yourself an outlet. Like even the simplicity you said of the music on your way to work or driving home and singing along. And that's such a release, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. And I love to see the palm trees and the sunset a lot on the drive home. And I think I was missing in the COVID times, even though I knew I was in LA, I didn't feel grounded in LA because I had just moved from New York and I knew a couple people, but I wasn't settled, and it was hard to get settled because you're in your house all the time.
Right.
In my apartment. And, you couldn't really see the people you knew that often. I was able to go on hikes with my one friend because she and I both worked from home. But it was a lot of like, well, it's a Saturday. I have nothing to do. Let me paint something or like bake something or whatever. Like any of the arts I'm pretty open to. But music and visual arts are like my go-to, but I think there's also, you need the physical and the emotional space to be creative. And sometimes when I'm burnt out, I can't be as creative. I will not paint because I'm just burnt out. I don't have a well to dig from.
Yeah.
Any of this emotional content.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally understand. For so long when I was teaching, I wasn't doing my work because so much of it was spent in the space of being in that space. But at the same time for me, I didn't have the tools necessarily to give myself more permission to access. I kind of, for me, allowed myself to stay in that space instead of like when I was in college, one of my professors would say, you need to go to your studio for at least 15 minutes a day, even if you're not doing anything. Mm-hmm. You just sit in the space and do it. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't just carving out the time because for me, there were the reasons of I'm too tired. There's too many things to do, take care of the family, lesson plans, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think it just boiled down to me that I didn't have the tools. But when I did make the decision to change, yeah, life just became different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I think what you're saying is that you do need to have that physical and emotional space. It's just, it's kind of the key. It's the key to everything. And there was such isolation during those. I mean, there is. I know that somebody... But I know her kids, they're back on quarantine. I forget which state they're living in, but she's young kids. But the isolation, here you said you moved to a new space, which took so much guts to pick up and move. And you still were isolated. So it is, it's so freeing to get out and see all the beauty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And truly be aware of it. And you made me think too that... when I was driving to and from work, my cheer song for me was Pink, Whatever You Want. And I would just friggin' open the windows and just blast that song and play it. I play that and Peter Gabriel. And it was just like my cheer song to get to work and leaving work. It just gave me so much energy. What's your song that you just put on where you're like, yes.
It varies because I'm so into music. I listen to so many things, but I would say for some reason, early 2000s, like punk pop or emo rock is what I've been listening to.
Okay.
So it depends on the day. But I guess it would be, and also sometimes I'll do like a Dua Lipa. I'll listen to her album. See, the favorite song is always hard for me. When people ask me this, I'm like, I don't know. It depends on how I'm feeling. This is the one that's coming to mind, and I can explain why. It's I think it's called Calling All Skeletons from Alkaline Trio. So it Alkaline Trio's whole thing is like being kind of morbid in their metaphors. But it kind of has this like rock guitar, and it's kind of like about joining together and being like acknowledging that people have wounds, but that we can carry on.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, there really doesn't have, I just said favorite song, but there doesn't have to be a favorite song, because you're exactly right. It really is based off of emotion and what you're feeling. And yeah, because music and any of the arts are, they are reflective of the times of society and the times of who we are and what we are. So yeah, we pick what matches how we're feeling.
Yeah.
So tell me about the traveling. Tell me a little bit more about the traveling part and just being out in nature. Where do you like hiking? Do you like going on boats, planes, cars?
Yeah. So my trip that's coming up, I'm going to a wedding with my boyfriend. We're over Labor Day weekend in Rochester, New York, which I've never been to. And then heading down to Central PA to see family, and then taking care of some things in Pittsburgh, and then finishing up with his family in West Virginia. So it's going to be quite the road trip in a week. We're going to be in one place like a day or two, which is going to be crazy. So that's my upcoming trip. But if things were normal, I love to... I also snowboard, so I like to go up to Whistler, which is in Vancouver, Canada, and you're like on this snow-filled mountain. You kind of feel like you're in a Hallmark movie in the Christmas Village kind of place, and then go snowboarding, and you're in this, and they have little like cottages that you can stay in, or like hotel rooms that have a little fireplace, which is so nice. So that's one of my places. I've also been to Jamaica in 2016. I would love to go back to the Caribbean once things are more normal. And then my boyfriend is from India. I mean, his family's from India. He was born here. But we would like to go and see some extended family in India. I don't know if it could be next year, but I would like it to be like later next year, but we'll see, you know, what is happening with COVID. But I want to kind of see all the countries. So I've only really been to a lot of states in the U.S. I've been to Mexico once, Canada. I've been on the East Coast and West Coast of Canada, and then Jamaica and the Caribbean. But I would also, I have like a list of countries. I want to do Iceland. I want to do New Zealand, Australia. Yeah. I've also been to Europe. I went to Germany and Italy. I want to see more countries in Europe, Asia, Africa. I don't think I would travel to Antarctica. But I would say as far as boats go, I do get seasick. But I found that out on a whale watch in Maine, which was... super fun. So boats and I, we're not as much friends, but I like to fly, and trains are totally fine. Cars are usually okay, but if I'm in the passenger seat, I can't be like reading, because I get motion sick, but everything but boats. I can do a small ferry, but if it's choppy waters, no.
Yeah, that wouldn't be my preference either. That is just not fun to me. I totally get that. My husband and I, we drove cross country from PA to LA.
And wow. I always wanted to do that.
We did. We did it when we were first dating. And so we were together 6 months. And it's kind of like, imagine driving in the summertime in a Mitsubishi, small car, anybody who doesn't know, two doors and no air conditioning. So this was after 6 months of dating. So Now being a parent and realizing having, you know, kids and all this, my parents were very kind in all of this. And understanding in me going cross country with this guy I only knew for 6 months. Mm-hmm. But we ended up learning a lot about each other along the way. And it was really fun. It was great to see the country and all of the parts in the middle and mm-hmm. a little bit on the upper parts through Ohio and everything. It's just great to see the country and where we're from, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I loved about going to Europe. My best friend and I, she's 100% Italian and I am, you know, a mix of a lot of things, but I'm German on both sides. So I think it's over 60% German. So that's why we did Germany and Italy to see where our family heritage is from.
Okay.
And eat the food and like see the country. And in Germany, we saw some castles, Italy as well, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. It is. It's so important. We were at a TJ Maxx the other day as my daughter was trying on some clothes. Mm-hmm. And I ended up, you know, like women do, men, maybe you do this as well. Just started talking to a woman who was waiting outside for her friend also. And her mom owned a travel agency and she'd been traveling since she was 8 years old. And we were just talking about the fact of, because our daughter's going to Costa Rica in a week. And mm-hmm. just saying how important it is to travel. And that's just, it's just so important to get outside of where you're from mm-hmm. In order to be able to connect and see that people are people.
Yes, definitely. And that's something I loved about New York City and working there. Even if I couldn't travel, you're meeting people, you're working with clients from literally all over the world.
Yeah. 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 It's like we have to go outside of ourselves and meet people in order to understand. Otherwise, there's so many of these blocks and misunderstandings because we don't know each other. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so yes, wonderful, wonderful. So as we are getting to the top of the hour, I am going to move on to the third question. And again, the people that are here live, so happy that you're here. Please feel free to put any questions or comments in the chat box if you would like. Talking all creativity here. So Haley, so kind of like wrapping it all up and putting a nice little bow on it, why mm-hmm. do you think creativity is important?
I think it's important for like helping to feel hopeful, to getting through dark times, to having self-care, a different way of processing. I think it's hard to define how important it is because, I think it's in almost everything that I personally do and I couldn't see my life without it. I think I did notice less of the new creativity coming out that you were able to access during the pandemic and the height of that, because you weren't having concerts, you weren't having art shows, you weren't seeing new art. And I mean, a lot of people I was talking to were noticing a lot of depression and anxiety that they weren't able to release because they felt like they couldn't make art because it wasn't going to be seen.
That brings up a really, really nice point of whether you're creating art for it to be seen by others or just as a release for yourself.
Uh-huh. I just do it for myself. Because there is so much that I give in my day to others that I also want to have things that I keep for just me.
Yeah, there we go back to that whole nourishing thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So listeners, it is so important to nourish yourself. I think that's so important what you just said, especially when you're like giving, giving, giving. Mm-hmm. You need to have something or things that are for you.
Yeah. Especially if you are, so there's in Jungian psychology, there's different archetypes. And again, this goes back to the metaphor I use in my work. But the caregiver archetype, the shadow of it, which in Jungian psychology means like the detriment of it. And they talk about it as, instead of a caregiver, you're a slave. You're like a slave to all your responsibilities and
we just lost you. There we go. Did you get a call, Haley?
Yeah, I just had to decline it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Robo call.
We stopped at slave to responsibilities. That's the last thing I heard.
Oh, okay. So if you, and that's the shadow of the caregiver. So that's the detriment of it. Mm-hmm. Where it's like you're caring for other people too much and you're not filling up your own cup. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I've definitely learned in this work. I have to take care of myself and do self-care and have times where I cannot be reachable to be able to nourish myself, to be able to go into work the next day and help someone else with whatever they are struggling with. And it's usually never like a simple issue. It's usually something more complex. It takes a lot of creativity.
Mm-hmm. So what do you, I know it's not like a simple answer, but when you're speaking with a client, give me an example of what you might say when somebody's not taking time for themselves, when they're just kind of going or being that caregiver, what could be at least one thing you could suggest?
Well, it depends on how they're talking about it. So if they're kind of like wall to wall, like I need to keep kind of telling you all the things that happened, it's a slowing it down because that can be avoiding feeling. So sometimes in your physical day, when you're wall to wall, you don't have any space to reflect because you don't want there to be space to reflect because you feel like it will be too much. But if we don't give space to reflect, and that's where creativity can come in, you know, you won't be able to continue to go. You won't be able to fill up your own cup because you're not asking yourself what you need. And you're just focusing on work or other responsibilities. So what I'll do is I'll say, where is your self-care? And it's one of the first things I do with clients. We need a self-care toolkit. What do you do to fill up your own cup? Because it doesn't matter what field you're in, you still need to fill up your own first before you take care of somebody else. And a lot of the things that go awry are when you take care of other people without taking care of yourself. And so letting that other person wait or saying no to a responsibility to be like, I don't have time for this additional thing. How can I delegate this? What do I need to do now? And what can I save for later? And giving space to be like, this can wait, but I need to eat lunch or I need to run to the bathroom or I need to do some self-care this evening and not work. I need to take a day off. I need to take a vacation. I need to, what do I need? And I usually ask clients, like, if you haven't asked yourself what you need in years, this is something we need to work on before we work on, you know, everything else that you're coming in for.
Mm-hmm. Yes, 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 and yes. It's that internal work, right? I mean, a lot of people they just want to kind of avoid. If we're busy, taking care of others, doing all these things, we can claim that we don't have enough time, we don't have all these things, but everything is within. So when we need to do the work, a lot of people, they're in avoidance, aren't they? Of kind of wanting to really kind of know who they are and what we want. It's not always very comfortable, is it?
No. No, and you know, as you were speaking, it makes me think about what we just talked about with traveling. Like, I remember when I was in Europe, even though I was on vacation, it felt like, we're going to do this excursion and then we're going to do dinner and then we're going to do blah, blah, blah. And they're like, our dinners are 2 hours. Right. You leisurely eat, you enjoy, you watch the sunset. And I was like, this is amazing. I need to do this more. Because they get like a 1 or 2 hour lunch break, and then they come back and they work later in the day. But then they all, like a lot of the places, will take off the month of August or have some kind of, like, I don't know how they do it at workplaces, but the people we spoke to in Germany and Italy were like, yeah, we take off the month of August and we get to things in September when we come back.
Yeah.
And then they'll say, you Americans work too much. And I was like, yep, we really do.
It's true. It's actually being in the moment and not in this avoidance of this. Yeah. I mean, we hear it all the time, but we're also, I mean, it's just, yeah, it is the way Americans run. It's our culture. It's the media. It's all of this kind of stuff constantly being bombarded. Imagine not having your phone on you. What a concept.
Yeah. And I would say, not everybody can deal with everything all the time. If anyone's listening that is struggling with mental health, you can't be in it all the time. You can't be processing your struggles all the time.
Right.
You can't be processing your trauma all the time. So the self-care is, when do I need to deal with this, and when do I need to have a mindless thing? When do I need distraction to just get through, because I am struggling with something that I can't process on my own, or I can't work through on my own. So it's getting help too, and support.
Yeah. Yeah. What would you say before I tell people how they can connect with you? If somebody's really going through it and they're not exactly sure what to do, how do people find the right place to start? What would you say is the right place to start for help?
Would you say like someone struggling with mental health and they're looking for some care?
Yeah.
So I would say a lot of the directories of therapists are helpful because they're nationwide. So Psychology Today has one where you can search your area, your insurance, what you're looking for support on. And then if you're looking for more lower cost therapy, Open Path Counseling has like lower cost, maybe it's like $50 per session or something like that. That would be comparable to like a copay, but you wouldn't have to go through your insurance if you don't have mental health coverage. These directories will kind of help people weed through all the names they have listed on their insurance, because you could have get a list that's like 10 pages from your insurance, but you have to know what the therapist specializes in to know if they're somebody to reach out. And then I do think it's helpful to have an initial call before you pick a therapist to see, is this somebody that practices the way that I think would be supportive to me? And are they a specialist in the issue that I need some more help with? Because people are trained in different things. But like trauma and eating disorders, they are absolutely a specialty. And it's not like every therapist knows how to work with those issues.
Right, right, right. Yeah, yeah, good advice. So please tell people how they can reach out to you.
Sure. So you can go to my website, HayleyMillerCounseling.com. It's HayleyMillerCounseling.com. And I have a form that I have people fill out on Calendly if they would like an initial, like 15-minute initial call, because I think that's important to connect via phone to see if it's a fit. And then in my practice, I also do provide clinical supervision for dietitians looking to specialize in eating disorders, so they can also, I also do that for clinicians. So the website is easiest. And then my email is hm@HayleyMillerCounseling.com, which is also listed on my website.
Yeah, so the website is really the best place.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So do people need to be in LA to work with you, or do you do virtual?
So I do virtual, but there's this whole thing with licensing. I don't know if you've heard about it, but so for a dietitian, I am licensed in California and in New York. And some of the other states don't require an additional license on top of registered dietitian, but a lot do. So those are the states that I, you know, pull from because I know I can work with people in those states. And then as a therapist, I'm licensed in the state of California.
Okay.
And so you have to be in the state of California if you are in another state. Each state has their own licensing. And so I can't see people even virtually in other states outside of California.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, before we sign off, give us like one final word of wisdom that you can offer to the audience, please.
I would say that would be trust the body and the mind. And these things are all the body. So if the body and the mind is telling you that you are overwhelmed, to trust that and to find ways to be less overwhelmed as opposed to like muscling through, because we need to connect more to the body and listen to the wisdom that it does have that maybe we aren't aware of.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a perfect way to end. Haley, thank you so much for taking this hour to chat with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. This was so much fun.
Yeah, I'm so, so glad. And I just wish you a safe trip and all that goodness with your boyfriend. And I want to thank the people here live, this space, and listening to the replay. This space is all about inspiring each other, connecting, and sharing stories. So please like, follow, and share. So we've always needed this in the world, but we need to be able to share more inspiration and connection and to make each other just feel happy. That's what this is all about. And before we go, if you feel an urge to write, I have a publishing company called Express Yourself Publishing, putting out a new multi-author book called Invisible No More. So please feel free to reach out and I can share more about it. So I wish you a good morning, a good afternoon, a good evening, wherever you are in this world, and be talking to you soon. So goodbye, everybody.
Feeling inspired? There are so many ways to do things for you, to get yourself moving, to get your creative juices flowing, and to have fun. Check out I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing. Go to iamcreativephilly.com. I am Creative Philly, PHILLY.com. And check out the experiential kits. Check out Creative Shway, which is all about creative inspiration and guidance. And for Express Yourself Publishing, there's so many multi-author book opportunities. So I would love to chat with you so much. Everybody's creative. Everybody has a voice, everybody has an expression, and I can't wait to meet you. Thank you so much for taking this hour to listen to our stories and share the energy, and I wish you a wonderful morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you are in this world. Bye, everybody.